I guess that would be me. My little ID says Percy's a Zen Threader. And I'd like to thank William for inviting me to do this. I'm little reluctant and nervous, and that's why I need to do something like this. Good exercise. I hope my nervousness doesn't compel me to go on too long, so I'll try to keep it short and to the point so that I can listen to your reactions. I might get a whole lot out of that, even if it's not about what I've talked about. I just like listening to you guys. So anyway, I thought I'd talk about faith and my faith and my wrestling with my faith and just kind of lay it out there, and I don't know if I'll be able to tie it up. I won't worry too much about tying it up in the night, but I'll just talk a little bit about how faith is tied up with so much with community and practice. And you know, I grew up Roman Catholic, and I was in and out of the Catholic Church, mostly out, but there were two reasons why I stayed in the Catholic Church. And one reason followed on the other. The first reason had to do with my childhood and my life from the time I was baptized up until about the time I was about 18. And that reason was fear of damnation. You know, I just that's a fear, I guess, that'll follow me for the rest of my life. But that was it. You know, it was all of the religiosity and the devotion and the culture, community, all of that didn't hold a candle to just fear of burning in hell if I didn't believe. And then I returned later on in life after I came back from California with a new wife. And started working, and she needed a church, and she the first the closest church to where we lived at the time was Holy Trinity Catholic Church. And it's just something in my life that so many women that have been important to me, including my partner now, have been devout. They've had the need, requirement to express devotion. It's just an interesting situation. Just seems to go that way. So she started going to Holy Trinity, and I started going with her, mostly to save my marriage. And I got involved with the community, and I was recruited into the Knights of Columbus. And my faith was just fading away as I was becoming more and more involved in the community. You know, I think about the story that Van told last Saturday about God walking with the faithful, even after they've forgotten the formality and the ritual, you know. And it's like the opposite happened to me. As my faith withered, my attention to the ritual and the formality and even the community strengthened. You know, I was the recording secretary for my council, and I would spend sometimes days just transcribing the minutes of the meetings so that they made literate sense and they conveyed these. And I was very careful to follow the mass the order of the Mass very closely, to recite the prayers very sincerely, but my faith was really fading. I made notes here to keep myself on track. I remember Susan giving a talk a while back about the importance of ritual and the forms of this and I kept to these the ritual of the Mass and the nights. Rituals involved were important to me because I really respected the community that I was part of. I really respected the knights and, the lives, the lives they had led, their service, in the armed forces. A lot of them had grown up on farms, and they were just, really great guys. But I just couldn't subscribe to that faith. And eventually I came to Buddhism, and I became involved in the community. I was welcomed into the Sangha by Mary. Such a beautiful, excuse me. So I came to practice meditation, to learn how to calm my mind, just the practice of meditation. And I didn't, and still don't understand a lot about the vows and the history and the culture and the Eastern culture, but I am really attached to the Sangha and the local Buddhist culture generally. I mean, I've been sitting with the Sun Mountain Sangha, the Thich Nhat Hanh group. Nancy and I watched a YouTube video showing, Thich Nhat Hanh coming out and greeting his followers in the best way that he could. He's, completely paralyzed, but he did have some soup, and everybody just cheered. So, I'm a little confused about the faith of Buddhism, as opposed to the practice of it. I was confused about that, but I did see this movie called The Last Train Home. It was a Chinese movie about these factory workers just before the information technology took hold, and the movie is a documentary. I mean, the camera crew follows an actual family, Chinese family of factory workers, around for a few days, and one young woman in the family comes to a Buddhist shrine, sidewalk altar, I guess, and she just prays. And I understood, it wasn't mysterious and hard to see. She was praying to the Lord of the universe, to the great Buddha, for mercy. She had such a hard life. And that's the same sense of faith, religion, devotion that compel someone to walk into a storefront to holiness church. I've seen it. Been in these churches. You know. So it made sense. I wanted to talk about one thing I read in this book I've been reading. I'm almost come to the end of it. It's Obama's book. I don't know if you can see it very well. What, something like 700 pages devoted to his first term in office. It's a great book. It's well-crafted, easy to read, and it's fascinating. But he goes on a state visit to India, and he visits the home of Mahatma Gandhi, and he sees the guest book there, and he sees Martin Luther King's signature when King visited in 1959. And the former president talks about how he studied Gandhi in college. And he says one thing that Gandhi believed in was the essential oneness of all religions. And so I was curious about that, and I Googled it, and I found a whole list of quotes from Gandhi about that. And one of them goes, after long study and experience, I have come to the conclusion that one, all religions are true. Two, all religions have some error in them. Three, all religions are almost as dear to me as my own Hinduism, inasmuch as all human beings should be as dear to one as one's own close relatives. My own veneration for other faiths is the same as that for my own faith. Therefore, no thought of conversion is possible. The aim of fellowship should be to help a Hindu become a better Hindu, a Muslim to become a better Muslim, and a Christian, a better Christian. And it continues in that way. So, I just read that yesterday, and that's kind of where my mind is at the moment. I'm planning to study Gandhi a little bit more, and I'm thinking about taking Sarah's course in the introductory course to Zen. But I'm not going to tie it all up. I'm not going to tie my story up in a nice, neat bow. I'm just going to leave it there. And thank you, guys, for listening to me. And I can hardly wait to hear what you have to say.